Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, 503-250-1080, the number to call and to text. Coming up this hour, hear from Jeff Passan of ESPN on MLB's proposal for a return to play. The Players Association has responded to the league, which got a laughable response from the MLBPA.
You think it was laughable? So
they came right back over the top, both of them.
Or do you think it was on the side of, hey, we're not going to go one extreme. You're going to go the other extreme. Well, we're going to try to meet in the middle. Is the magic number 100? Sounds like it's 100
and that's
to me.
They're laughing. They're like, ha! Both sides balking at each other. What is going to happen next?
It's kind of like the microphone thing, right?
No.
Well, no. It's kind of the...
I don't know the microphone thing.
Well, it's kind of like miking up players. You know, oh. not all of us are... You didn't see these negotiations back in the times when it was just, hey, this is the owner, this is the player, they play. And now we get to kind of hear the comments between the two. We get to hear, remember when Peyton Manning got by Jerry Richardson, got just embarrassed in negotiations when Jerry Richardson, former owner of the Carolina Panthers,
yep,
that sold because he's, well, let's just say that he,
a little pervy,
he was required and to move his team. I don't remember the exact details of what happened to him, but anyway, he's out of the league.
He was removed from leadership.
He was removed from leadership and asked to sell. But he embarrassed Peyton Manning at the time during those times. And that was kind of the peek behind the curtain a little bit. And you just mentioned how one side is laughable and then the owners are laughable. That's kind of like the microphone, micing things up. We're seeing every detail. There's no hiding of every aspect of the inner workings of the sports.
Yeah, that is very
good or bad. Depends on how you look at it. Good or bad.
We'll hear from Jeff Passan. We'll have a little golf talk. Vijay Singh, haven't heard that name in a long time. What's he been up to?
This story came across my feed. It was pretty brutal. Did you see what was said to him?
I did.
Like, really?
I did not. Fill me in.
Well, we will at 8:30.
Oh.
Okay. We will fill you in.
Who knew the golfers were so ruthless to each other?
Yeah,
I know.
You should kind of see that.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all the group that should be angered by this, this is baffling to me.
Oh, I think it's there. I think it's always there. Every sport's got it. Plus, a little extra golf talk. I went to Bandon this weekend.
Oh, did you?
I did. And
first time?
What?
First time?
No. Oh. No, not the first time. The best time, though, that I've been there, because I got to play Sheep Ranch.
Oh, yeah, the new one.
The new one.
The new run.
Is officially opening today. I got to play it yesterday.
Ben Crenshaw's beautiful design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. I'll tell you a little bit about it after we talk about VJ, but it may be the most beautiful place I have ever been.
Sheep Ranch or Bandon?
The course. Sheep Ranch course.
Really? You thought it was that much better than all the other courses?
I have. I do. Wow. I'd
be quite curious what made it different.
Okay. I will tell you. Coming up later in the show. But how about George Kittle, your favorite player, Cam Cleland's favorite man in the NFL, George Kittle. His agent making the rounds is saying George Kittle is looking for more money than just top tight end money. He's looking to reset the market, according to Jack Betcha. What a great name for an agent.
Gotcha.
Jack Betcha.
I betcha.
You betcha.
I thought it was Bechta. Is it Betcha?
Nope. I don't care. I'm saying Bechta. Betcha.
Who's right?
Bechta. It's got to be Bechta. But I want Betcha as his name. Jack Betcha. I don't care about the tight end market. I'm being paid to do a George Kittle deal. He's going to make $735,000.
Horrifically underpaid.
This year, final year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And he wants the largest deal ever. You know who the highest paid tight end in the NFL is?
Hold on. Oh, gosh. I think it's... That's a... Man.
Okay.
Zach Ertz.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
It's Travis Kelce.
Nope.
Okay, then who is it?
Austin Hooper.
Well, now it's Austin. Really? That's right. His new deal with Cleveland. I apologize. I would have said that if I would have thought about today's deal.
I think that
and hasn't performed to it yet. He got it based on the market. Yeah.
Well, it was this offseason.
Yeah, it was this year, but he hasn't performed. He hasn't performed yet. He's getting it based on his production in the past.
4 years, $42 million. That be the highest paid. That's the largest contract. Okay. Hunter Henry is going to make
4 years, $42 million. Is what you said?
Yep. Hunter Henry is going to make the most money this year at $10.6 million. That's on the franchise tag. And that's Chargers tied in there. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at George Kittle. What do you pay him top end receiver money?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Take your biases out of this where you're. All right, do you pay him upwards of Julio Amari Cooper money?
So here's what I would use. I would use an analytic and a metric, and I would find value based upon, not just based on opinion. I would actually use science and math, because science and math, and I would also use a little bit of emotion along the same lines. And there are a few companies out there that will give you the kind of statistics that will help you use the math and the algorithms to tell you, okay, is the production worth the value? Pro Football Focus in the NFL side will give you metrics, and they will tell you that George Kittle was the number one ranked football player in all of the NFL last year. That's impressive. Okay, that's very impressive. Not only the number one tight end, he was the most highly productive, most versatile player on the football field of the National Football League more than anybody else. And how did they grade that? Based upon his blocking ability, his pass protection, his pass catching, and the amount of plays. And they also, another company called Activis, which uses metrics that tell you how productive that player is within the play. Do they lose their block? Do they finish downfield? Do they get tackled? Do they have yak yards after catches? Do they have drops? Okay. Are they good post catch, not just post catch, but not with their protections, but do they also, their mental errors, mental mistakes, and positive play? So when you put all those metrics together and you start to focus it on the field, what does your offense look like with or without George Kittle? I think you saw that in the two games that they needed him the most. They took advantage of a very bad Green Bay team because they didn't need it. But in the Super Bowl, did they use George Kittle? And I'm going to ask a fan here because we have one sitting right here. We have Ryan Buckley. Did they use George Kittle the way they should have to win the Super
Bowl? Hold on. Right guy from the Bay, because we're talking about San Francisco.
My bad.
Okay.
In your opinion, Ryan, did they use George Kittle productively in the Super Bowl?
I think they tried to and were unable to.
So you think that the defense stopped him and they didn't? They didn't do that. So you don't. So do you think George Kittle would have been a difference maker if he would have been more involved? Now, can I use this caveat to you? And let me throw this to you: who made the biggest change in the Super Bowl when you saw the Patriots win that last Super Bowl? Who was the guy that made the most productive catches in the end to get them in position? And who is now with, I'm leading you into this question, who is now with him and called a security blanket of all security blankets for Thomas Edward Brady?
That would be Gronk. And I will I will also say that Kittle would have been a bigger difference maker in that game had they had more weapons around him. I think that by the end of the season, he was more dominant in the run game than he was in the pass game because teams were doubling him because they didn't have to pay as much attention to other players.
So, and then to go into that question, you say more dominant in the run game because if you're taking your offense and saying that, I think that he gives you more value on the edge, I can't stress enough how important it is to be able to block edge. The NFL has actually created a position called edge. It was never around. It is now a staple. And the fact that is a position worth $20 to $25 million per year. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney can't find it right now, but that's because he's injured. But we do know edge guys garnered that kind of money. So if you mean to tell me that the edge guy in a run game that is predominantly a run team with San Francisco, is that fair to say? San Francisco predominantly a run team?
I would play say action yes, and run, that is safe
right?
to say.
And George Kittle is predominantly the best blocker. And if your team is going to have more of leverage towards run game, Then yes, you overpaid George Kittle because you're blocking the best players on the defense, hands down, or on the edges of defenses. Those corners, edge rushers. You want to say middle linebacker, they're few and far between. They're not bad. You don't pay middle linebackers $25 million a year to $20 million. You pay edge guys that. Block them, find a way.
You know, but in that Super Bowl, the Chiefs, it was the way that it played out. I mean, my gosh, they kind of had this recipe the whole season is that they fell behind by 10. Remember, it was 20 to 10 in the heading into the fourth quarter. And then it was just like, hey, San Francisco, we're going to take the air out of the ball. We're just going to run this ball down their throat. We're going to go. And Kansas City did a phenomenal job of never forgetting where George Kittle was. They did an unbelievable job in that. They were just so close to winning that Super Bowl without having Kittle be a huge impact player. Mm-hmm. The defense couldn't stop them. The Chiefs in the fourth quarter for the life of them. And Damien Williams. And I'm looking up the stats right now. Kittle, 4 catches, 36 yards. One of the things that makes George Kittle so impressive is that he's a yards after catch tight end.
Yeah. And one ridiculous offensive pass interference call, by the way.
So I'll share the story what happened to me in 98 because I can correlate this. And
you just sounded like Jags fan right there. Took what? It to the limit. Buck did right there.
Can we get a drop?
Took it to the limit.
When you were like one ridiculous pass interference.
I got hosed.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. So in 2000, there was a couple tight ends that were unbelievable. Tony Gonzalez, but Kyle Brady had just reset the market. You guys remember Kyle Brady?
I do. Ravens, right?
No, he was on Jacksonville at the
Jacksonville.
Time. Yeah, Kyle Brady, huge dude. Right. Huge, 6'7", like 275 or anything.
Was he the celibate guy? Is
that him? I don't know. But he had set the market at 5 years, $15 million. Does that make you laugh? In yes. 2000, 2001-ish, 2000 at the time. And so a little-known bald redhead guy was ready to reset the market. Now, I don't know who that guy was, but we were in negotiations to be the highest-paid tight end in the league.
It was you.
Yeah. And that time, it was going to be for around 5 years, $17.5 million, somewhere in that region, somewhere in that range. And Tony Gonzalez was coming up, too, and he would have just blown it out of the water the next time. But it was all about, and Wesley Walls was over at Carolina, and he was already one of the highest, along with Mark Chimura and some of these other guys. So we were all coming up at the same time. And so everybody was trying to jump and reset markets and trying to jump like that. Well, of course, mine didn't happen because I blew my Achilles out right in the negotiations. The rest is history. And then you become just that guy. But the story kind of fits with today is that if George Kittle does not try to get this now, and this is why guys hold out, because I should have held out. I should have done the right things, but that's not what we did then. Nobody held out. You were part of the team. It's a different world. Jimmy Graham tried this. He tried to do it. He tried to get the franchise tag. He tried to do and say, I'm a wide receiver that gets 80-some catches, 90 catches a year. He was a system guy. Okay, he was a total system guy. It doesn't work. You can't hide behind the numbers with George Kittle. You can't deny he is a top five most valuable player in this league. No question about it because of what he does for his team. And if you don't think he's more valuable than Joey Bosa, you're crazy. Crazy. Joey Bosa, any one of those. Nick Bosa. Joey Bosa's on the Chargers, sorry. Nick Bosa, you're crazy. Crazy.
How much of that do you think is him in the Shanahan system, though? Like, I'm not disagreeing that Kittle is just as well-rounded as
Jimmy Graham.
He's more well-rounded
block.
Than
Jimmy
any,
Graham couldn't yeah, block yeah. anybody.
But the system was Sean Payton, and he was more of a receiver, and he was fought
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
But Shanahan always kind of tinkers in his offense, always has a focal point of that tight end. Do you think there's any element of that of Shanahan's system lending itself to really accentuate Kittle's strengths?
I don't think so.
Everything?
I think what you have to have with him as that, you have to have a commitment is that you can't come off the field. You can't have a blocking tight end. Who was the great tight end for the Denver Broncos during their last Super Bowl runs? He talks now. He's on your screen. Shannon Sharp.
I was thinking with Peyton Manning.
No, he's like, on that screen.
I don't remember the Super Bowl that John Elway runs in the late 90s. Yeah, yeah.
Shannon Sharp wasn't an edge guy. I mean, he was emphasized, and he didn't shy away from blocking. He didn't love blocking. There's no way he wanted to do that. But then he went to Baltimore, and he didn't want to touch anybody. In fact, during 9-on-7, he went and did the receiver drills.
Ooh, nice.
Him and Todd Heap would do the receiver drills. They didn't want to do the blocking stuff.
Hey, Todd Heap is the guy that I was thinking of.
Yeah, Todd's such a great man. Unbelievable man.
Yeah.
But George Kittle does the dirty work and the things that's not just the system. It's that you can have a system, but if you actually ask the guy to do it, and see if he can do it successfully. There is nobody in the league that George can't handle one-on-one. That, my friend, in today's football, is so unbelievably talented that you can handle anybody in the NFL one-on-one. I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen.
He's a unicorn.
He is completely a unicorn. And he was a fifth-round draft choice out of Iowa.
Yeah.
And that's value. So, yes, George, reset the market. And not only is he great on the field, he brings moxie, and he is marketable, and he is fun, and those are the other values that he brings, too.
So is Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Travis Kelce is good. He can't hold a candle to George Kittle's blocking ability.
He can't block like he can. No, sir.
But Travis Kelce is very good.
Hear what Jeff Passan of ESPN has to say about Major League Baseball's players countering the owner's proposal for a return to baseball. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Just trying to catch a free ride from the temple to the tomb. All right, it's 8:20. Dusty here, Cam Cleveland with you. We talked earlier about the MLBPA's proposal for a return to baseball, countering the league's proposal. They're saying 114-game schedule, June 30th to October 31st. You would have deferred payments going to players if no postseason is played, which is a huge piece of the revenue. There are opt-outs for every single player. If you don't want to play, you don't have to play this season. But those that are at high risk themselves or have family members that are at high risk, they will have their salaries paid if you opt out. Everybody else, if you're just doing it for safety reasons or you just don't feel comfortable doing it, that option is on the board. Also, in addition to those things, those are kind of the meat and potatoes of their return. Expanded playoffs for 2 years. MLB's proposal was just 1 year, expanding the playoffs from 10 to 14 teams. Salary advance of $100 million to split among all players during the spring training 2.0. Additional commitment to players wearing microphones on the field and other broadcast enhancements, and an offer to hold events such as an offseason all-star game or home run derby. The one thing that they will not agree to is another pay cut. They want their prorated salary for every game, and they want to play 114. You and I both believe that a lot of this is just we'll meet in the middle somewhere mm-hmm. on games and on how spring training is paid, right? I mean, kind of, and that's where this fight is. Everything else, it seems like they're all pretty reasonable requests.
If there's one thing that the players can stand on and believe on, and all it feels like this way, is that they're not going to accept pay cuts.
Yes,
they'll accept proration, which hard to argue against that. But maybe as owners, you might try. And you can ask and you can try to leverage, but I think the players are going to stand on that one. All the other stuff is up in the air, but proration is going to be something that they're like, that's it, not going to happen. And it feels pretty strongly towards that.
I like the players' proposal. I think it is pretty fair. Jeff Passan of ESPN, MLB Insider, how do you feel this will go over with the owners?
MLB is going to reject this proposal. Okay. It's just an inevitability, like it was inevitable that the players rejected MLB's proposal on Tuesday that included the pretty drastic pay cuts for players up and down. But the issue is going to be on the owner side. Now, there is a group of owners, it's a small group at this point, but there's a group that has been fairly vocal about there not being a 2020 season and what the benefits would be to that. And the question is this proposal going to give them more ammunition, perhaps, going forward and being able to bring some others onto their side? Or are they going to see this from the players as an olive branch saying, hey, let's find somewhere to meet in the middle? We've got a pandemic going on right now. We've got a crisis going on across the country where cities are burning. And are we really going to be the ones?
You know what? Passing at the end, he makes a very good point. Of baseball optically looking bad, but what about that piece there in the middle where he's talking about owners saying the benefits of not playing at all in 2020? We know it's a small group of those owners, but the fact that they are even having a voice in the matter and have the ability to talk about there being benefits. How about setting the game back and people forgetting about you like they did after 94, where it took Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire having a andro-induced or steroid-induced home run derby to get people interested in your game again?
What I don't understand is what those owners are upset about or what the reasoning behind not playing. Is it because they're afraid of what the virus could do to their teammates or their family or their people? Because that's all being now it's speculation. Is Jeff Passan saying they don't want to play because they don't feel like it's safe, or they feel like they don't want to have to pay for it, or they're comfortable enough, or it's unfortunate? I mean, what is the reason why you would say not play? I don't know. It leaves it all up for criticism.
The reports all sound and indicate that it is a financially motivated reason for not playing.
I just don't know how something's not better than nothing. Something is, you're playing.
Because I think if you don't play at all, you can have like your force majeure kind of deal where
is there an insurance
you don't have
that
to pay the
have?
Contracts. I don't know.
You can get into it.
Maybe. But This is a bad sign heading into what could be a very pivotal stretch in a potential return for baseball.
We've got a pandemic going on right now. We've got a crisis going on across the country where cities are burning. And are we really going to be the ones who can't come to a deal right now? It's just more for baseball to consider than it has already. And if it wants to be the first professional sport in America, first major professional sport to come back, then this week is going to be absolutely seminal.
You think we get some by the end of the week?
Man.
Because they want to start, both proposals have it starting at the end of June or first weekend in July.
Man. I don't think we get it done this week.
Well, that means it's going to be very hard to start a season by the first week of July, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, think of it.
Who blinks first, June 1?
And they have to have a good Larry Scott glide path. They have to have like 2 weeks of quarantine and then a 3 week spring training. You're looking at 5 weeks. And guess what? First weekend in July is a month away.
We all know in negotiations, somebody's got to blink. Who's blinking first?
I think the owners do. I think the owners do because they know that the values of their franchise may take a hit from 1 year if they don't play, right? Or if they do play, it'll be a 1 year hit. If they don't play, it will be multiple years their value of their franchises are affected in a negative way because you will lose a lot of fans of baseball just like you did in 94.
There you go.
I mean, I think they blink. Do you?
I've never seen owners blink. I haven't. I haven't seen it in a negotiation yet. I haven't.
Isn't this different, though?
I don't know.
So different because we all of them have only strictly been financial.
Who always has the most leverage? The one with the biggest wallet.
Right.
And that's kind of learned that in my history.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple times when you do have leverage. This might be a player's leverage that we've never seen before. It might be. This is a tough call. It really is a tough call.
Vijay Singh is taking some zings, folks. We'll let you know what the former champion golfer is taking heat for. And I'll tell you about the most beautiful place I've ever been after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, Vijay Singh taking some heat. I didn't know what Vijay Singh was up to. I had figured that he'd retired or something.
Maybe he's 57.
He's on the Champions Tour then?
57 years old. He still loves to play golf.
A 34-time PGA Tour winner. But apparently he is trying to get a spot in the Korn Ferry Tour. He was scheduled to play in the Dyes Valley at TPC Sawgrass in 2 weeks on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is that's the one that comes up, the Winco Foods Portland Open.
Correct.
It's the next step into the PGA Tour. And one young man is not happy about it. I don't know who Brady Schnell is. Who's Brady Schnell?
He's just, he's a little veteran of the Korn Ferry Tour.
He's one of those guys just trying to grind his way up to the top, huh, and get to the PGA?
The difference between the players on the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour is like 3 strokes. It's a couple putts.
Wow.
Now, that's how fractionally close those players are. Now, there's guys at the top. They're the elites of the elites. But we're talking back and forth when you only have 125 spots to play on the PGA Tour, and then you have the Korn Ferry Tour. Think about how close you are to making it to the show. And this comes from Brady Schnell, who just says, hey, wait a minute, Vijay. You've won 34 times. You're a Hall of Famer. Former world number one. You've won majors. You're 57 years old. What the heck are you doing? Listen to this. This is what Brady Schnell does to Vijay. And though, remember, Vijay was famously known for using deer antler spray in the lawsuit against the PGA Tour about using a I still don't know what deer antler spray is.
Oh, Ray Lewis told me it's all natural. It's fine.
I don't know what deer antler spray was. But Vijay sued the PGA and won. Oh, obviously, that didn't work out very well. This is what Brady Schnell says to him. Says, hey, Vijay, you're a true piece of trash if you accept money playing in the Korn Ferry Tour event. I'll say it right to your face. Who knew guys on the tour were that bitter?
In the face.
And then he goes on to say, because one person replies to him and says, boo-hoo, I hope he goes out and wins. It's one spot, and he's done a lot for the game. He could even help promote the Korn Ferry Tour and increase coverage. But that's not what Brady Schnell feels. He goes, it's one spot. Do you know how much those points and money could do for a young kid? He's a complete turd for playing. He's got his money. He's got his career. Just wait another month and roll with your senior friends. This is old man versus young man. So the reason why I found this pretty cool is that we're not cool, but it's old versus young. It's like, hey, I got a spot. Don't be the old guy taking the young person's spot. Agree or disagree, or should you just be allowed to play? If I can beat you, what do you want me to do? I can be good enough to beat you, should I not take your spot?
Did he lose his tour card, Vijay?
No. No, he gets in exemptions, but he has a championship. And because this is along the same lines as the same guys that got mad at Tim Tebow and said, you just got brought in for this entertainment factor. You're taking spots of all these guys that work and do these. And I go, is Vijay Singh a draw? Would he bring more crowds to the TPC Sawgrass? Probably, because it's Vijay Singh.
If I'm if I hear Vijay Singh would be at the Winco Foods Portland Open,
that's a draw.
I would go.
Yeah, like promoters.
I'd go anyways.
Right.
But I would be more prone to go if, you know, if I knew Vijay was going. Yeah. But I think there is an element where Brady Schnell is right in this.
Oh, so Vijay's a turd.
Yeah.
You think Vijay's a turd for doing this?
Sure. Okay. One, he can still play on the PGA Tour. Two, he's old enough to play on the Champions Tour. Three, I do think that there is an element of with COVID-19 shutting down everything, every single dollar is going to matter to those young guys even more this year. And they are going to scratch and claw. And I think a lot of exemptions are going to be gone because of the fact these guys need that purse money. And this is one of the most expensive purses, correct?
$600,000.
That's why Vijay wants the plane, it assuming. But I do think that that one spot is actually more important this year. Now, you know, one spot, is that guy going to finish in the money? Maybe. I mean, we talked just last week about John Daly was the ninth alternate getting into the PGA Championship, and he won it. And in that, to me, I think that this year it does matter, because if Vijay does finish in the money, which people are expecting him to do, then he's taking money out of somebody's pocket. It's not just getting the last guy.
Is he
taking
or is he earning? And so I go, is he earning it?
But this is why it's kind of taking it, is because he can go, okay, go earn it on the PGA Tour. Go earn it on the Champions Tour, where you can still play. Where you can still play the series.
Is it a system issue, or is it the fact that Vijay Singh has since pulled out because he said, I'm done, I don't want to do it. And he took the heat and he said, I won't do it. So Brady Schnell, you won. He won. He got his way by publicly shaming Vijay Singh, which not a lot of people like Vijay Singh.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a problem with it. But what if it was like a John Daly? Or somebody that would be fun and they were exciting and this was done too. If it wasn't Vijay Singh, would you feel the same way?
Do you think the reaction would be the same though?
No.
See, and I think that's a culmination of things happening with Vijay getting the heat put on him and the clamps put down. I do find it interesting that you know, when you said I hadn't seen the comments or heard the comments from Brady Schnell earlier. When you said them and you were like, hey, yeah, you know, who thinks of golf this way? Not quite this way. I would think that golf would be a little bit more
respectful of each other. I don't know. Those guys.
Yeah. No, I thought it would be more passive aggressive than you're a turd and a piece of trash and I'll say it to your face.
I don't think he would do that.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think you're a Twitter bro.
I think you're pretty confident
on Twitter. I think there's a lot out there that are very confident on Twitter that would not do it to someone's face.
Very judgy of me, but that name just sounds like someone who's going to back down. I don't know. It just sounds like it.
I'm with you on that. Anybody with the name Brady and Schnell sounds like they have.
Does not reek of tough guy.
No. You take a look at him, though. Google image him. Old Brady Schnell.
What do you think he looks like before you?
He does not look like I thought he would look.
What did you think he should look like?
What? I thought he would look...
He's a little beefier than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, but you look at his height and weight, he's 5'9", 175 pounds.
No, he looks how I thought he'd look like. Yeah,
you
totally.
You think so?
Yep.
See, but I
were
think that he...
Were you thinking Justin Thomas? Is that what you were thinking?
I would think that he would... I think that this guy would say something to him. Into his face. He looks like a guy because he's got the goatee.
Mm-hmm.
He's...
Goatee brethren.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 5'9", 175.
Looks a little Gary Woodland-ish
with
facial hair.
Mm-hmm. A little stocky.
He went to University of Nebraska. Oh. From Iowa.
Oh, he's a Midwestern bro.
So he's been on... Look, he turned pro in 2007.
He's friends with Larry the Cable Guy. I might have to like this guy. I don't know.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's from Nebraska. I mean, Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, everybody from Nebraska is friends
with Larry the Cable Guy.
And he likes golf.
He likes golf.
So he's 35. He's been on, assuming, like, very few times the PGA. He has one Corn Ferry Tour win.
He's called him a turd.
I think he's been on there long enough where he doesn't give a rip anymore. I think he would. I think he would call him out.
Yeah, he might do it.
I think he would. But I was anticipating something more passive-aggressive from the Corn Ferry Tour calling out.
How would you do the passive aggressive version?
I don't know. I don't know.
Would you send him a DM?
It'd be really cool. Yeah, you wouldn't tag him outright.
You'd speak in code?
You'd be like, it'd be really cool if guys who've won 34 times on the tour didn't win.
Give us a chance.
It would be nice if guys like VJ would consider guys like us who haven't had as many opportunities to win tournaments.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be careful. Thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, spice it up a little bit then. Let's go. Spice it up, Corn Ferry Tour. Maybe that's where they get a few more teeth, is a little bit more trash talking. Mic those guys up. Have them talk some mess.
Golf is one sport that would succeed tremendously with more mic'd up.
Mm-hmm. And get them used to it on the Corn Ferry Tour. So by the time they're on the PGA Tour, you can roll it up and get ready to roll.
Yeah,
they're all used to it by then. All right, the most beautiful place I've ever been. 842 on the Fan. All right, we're back. Dusty and Cam. June 1st. Sunny day. Today is officially the opening day of Sheep Ranch out at Bandon Dunes. It's the newest course out there. The folks at Bandon have put together. And I got a chance to go out and play all 18 of Sheep Ranch yesterday. And I can't thank Bandon enough for doing it. I'm not kidding, Cam. Mm. It is the most beautiful place I've ever been to. And I'm not talking like golf courses. I am talking like it is the most beautiful place. The course of Sheep Ranch is the most beautiful place I've ever been. Now, I'm not, you know, widely world traveled, but I've been across this great country. I've been to a few other countries. I have, like, it is breathtaking going out to Sheep Ranch. And that is not an exaggeration. It is stunning what they have done out there. Absolutely stunning.
So why?
Okay. First, and we've heard a lot of these details about it, how they say 9 holes on the course are on the ocean. Like, either you are directly playing on the cliffside, it is a beautiful cliff going down to the ocean, or you are, you know, on a tee box or a hole that is, you know, mere yards from that cliff line. It is breathtaking views up and down the coastline. The weather was absolutely beautiful yesterday, and it is today and down there for the weekend or for the week. It is, you get so many different styles, and they don't have like, it is just beautiful. And like the first fairway is like an infinity fairway, right?
So explain that.
So when you tee off, you are going down to, it's a par 5 on 1, right? Mm. And you're not on the ocean side, right? You're not on the ocean, but you're hitting down a fairway that goes downhill where you can't see the green. And all you see in the distance of the fairway is the ocean. You see the Pacific Ocean on your first hole tee off.
Cool.
And it's like you're hitting essentially blind. And if you can bomb it, you'd have to get it down that hill. But it looks like, you know, like an infinity pool where it's just going off. But it's the Pacific Ocean in the background. It is for a course out there, it is pretty forgiving as far as, you know, fairways are big. It's link style. They don't have any bunkers on the course. You just have to worry about not hitting it over a cliff. But it is everything like you imagine being like picturesque, like what you imagine like Pebble Beach would be like, where it's on the coastline. You know, you have like on hole 6, you can cut the corner on a dog leg and go over a canyon, over the beach area. It is just like you sit there and it's pinch yourself moments over and over again of how beautiful that course is. And I was floored at just the beauty of it. But then you get out there and like playing it, it was sweet, man. And you are a golf guy. I can only imagine like you are like, you, when I say you're a golf guy, you're hardcore golf guy. You will love it. You will absolutely love it. Cause you've seen Pacific Dunes and Bandon.
I've played them all.
Dunes and trails and all those.
Sure.
And they are all great. But you know what I'm talking about with like nine holes either on the coastline or right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the holes are like that on the other courses there.
No.
This is everything is on the coastline. It is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great place. Sounds like they knocked it out of the park from what you're saying. Ben Crenshaw did a great job. He did Bandon Trails, and which is, I think, is the most beautiful when you talk about just the differences of the courses. But I heard great things about Cheap Branch, so that's pretty cool.
It is, yeah. And it, right now, if you're like locally, right now's the time to, like, if you've been, they're going to be jam-packed and blah, blah, blah. They have all the courses there, and it is the time to go because a lot of people aren't going to be traveling from across the country or across the world,
right?
Like at Bandon usually has.
Yeah.
And so, like, now is the time you get out there. And, you know, I was talking to their GM out there, Don Crow, who's just awesome people out there. They were saying that.
Did you see Shu? Was he there?
No.
Did you see Shu?
No. I don't believe I did.
You know who I'm talking about?
No, because I didn't see him.
Oh.
Nor did I meet him.
Oh, you didn't?
Whom do you
Shu is the greeter that's out there that handles all the bags at the beginning. He's fantastic.
Mm. Well, no.
Oh, okay.
I did not know Shu. But they were saying, do you know that they have a deal there where if you're 22 or under and you play with an adult, like a paying adult,
mm-hmm.
rounds free.
That's great.
So think of that, like right now. I was sitting there, and when
I wonder why 22.
I don't know.
That's an
maybe it's like college,
number.
Like at your you're finally out of college,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you can like have an experience growing up in high school or whatever, playing with your dad out there or your mom or whomever you play golf with, your grandpa, and then like you go, and then once you are done with college, you can finally pay and you go, and that experience can continue. But think of like we've all been in our homes. We, you know, kids are back from college or living at home. Like, that would be an awesome experience to go out and do.
Yeah.
Like, it is, you know, Bandon. It's awesome out there. And yeah. They've just added another gym. And I think it is. We got a text earlier at 503-250-1080 about the new Sheep Ranch. This guy played it on a preview round where I think it was only like preview 10 holes, but said it'll be a top 10 course in the country. I mean, and there's no doubt in my mind, like it will be one of those ones that it becomes the next, you have to go out there course. And I can't wait for you to go and play it because I think you're going to say a lot of the same things. I don't know if you'll say it's the most beautiful place you've ever been, but for me, it absolutely was better than anything I've seen in Mexico, Dominican, United States, Canada. I was just blown away by the beauty and what they were able to do with it. Because you sit there and you look at the vision of building a golf course, like you're talking Ben Crenshaw in his design, mm-hmm. It's got to be so hard to just have like, you have a bunch of like shrubbery and sand dunes and all that stuff being like, this is what I'm going to do with the golf course and what golf architects and golf designers do with that piece of land. The vision of it is amazing.
Yeah. The talent that it takes to be able to see just to see the landscape and design and do that. That's why Ben Crenshaw, anybody that designs a golf course, it's fascinating how it's just art. I mean, you're taking the landscape and you're making art. And sometimes when it all comes together, it's a great place. It's actually every top course in the state of Oregon. If you look ranked 1 through 4, they're all the Bandon courses. And I'm sure Sheep will jump in front of everybody too, of all those other courses. So it's a great place. Not the easiest place to get to,
mm-hmm.
but it's well worth it.
Worth it. So worth it. And, you know, they got deals for families out there, which I did not know. And it was pretty cool to find out. And it was an awesome time to go out there and play out there. And it's tough, but it's also forgiving too, man. And the beauty of it, you could be playing the worst round of your life and you would still love it. Just being out there and just experiencing all of it. It is a really, really cool place to be. I recommend if you love golf, you have to do it. If you like golf or maybe you just got into golfing, it's worth the experience to go out there and do it. And now's the time because, you know, as I was saying, people aren't coming from across the world and across the country to come to go and play these courses that are right here in our own backyard, man. It is, oh my gosh, it is so cool to go out there. I highly recommend it. When you can, get some dudes together, get your family together, go and make a memory there, because you know this. Memories, you can just like, those are the big places that you go, and you won't forget them when you do it with you know, loved ones or your friends, man. Pretty cool space to be. Do you do dudes trips, go golfing?
Absolutely. Stuff like that? I don't want to take my family on that stuff.
I see them enough. I see them enough. Do you have any golf trips planned?
No. Do I it. Don't have, no. I don't no, I don't. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. Usually I not doing a lot of traveling right now. Probably not the best idea at
Why
this
not?
Point.
Well, you just but short drive.
Abandon
out
is a great. I mean, if you're going to make the trip, just get in the car and go make a run. It's close enough to go knock that out. But yeah, I would. It is, if you want to go to a place with your family or friends, there is no better spot in the country. I mean, there's a couple spots along the coast if you go to North or South Carolina. Florida too, but it is world renowned. We're very lucky to have it in your backyard.
And the people out there are great.
Incredible.
It's awesome. Whether they're, you know, the caddies, great. Shoe, yep. as you were saying.
Well, he's not one of the caddies. He's
no,
one
I
of
know.
The, yeah.
I know. Shoe's a guy. He's a greeter and he's at the bag drop area. But whether it's those guys, the guys and gals in the pro shop or the restaurant, you know, pretty cool backstories, and everybody's willing to take a minute and talk with you. It's pretty cool, man. I would highly, highly recommend it. And I put a picture up of that first fairway, and it is when we were teeing off yesterday, and it was pretty sweet, man. Just that breathtaking view that you get, and then they don't stop. It kind of gets better as you go on. My favorite holes, 6 and 16. 6 is the one that goes over the beach there. You have like the dog leg right. And then 16 is a little par 3 mm-hmm. right on the coastline. You can't beat the views. Cannot beat the views. Go do it. Go and do it. All right. Hey, I thought you started off this show very well. I think we should end it with this one. A little bit of love, huh?
A little bit of love. More of it.
Goes a long ways, mm-hmm. man. Goes a really long ways. All right, up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. And I believe that they will have Don Crow on today. The from Bandon is going to join those guys. 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Monday. We're going to be back. We're going to do it all again. We'll have a Tuesday show for you. Have a great Monday. See you Tuesday. This has been Dustin Cam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.